A list of annoying things, annoying habits, a list of annoying things, not just another list. See if you can spot these. List of annoying things. Digitally, removing mucus from the nasal passageway. Forcefully expelling gas, often with hints of sulfur, using the lower abdominal and pelvic muscles. Tattletale, being a tattletale. I remember one time I was a little guy. We were at a friend's house. It was after church on a Sunday night, and their child had done something to me. And I went up to my mom wanting to make my case that I had been horribly wronged. And so I said to my mom, I don't want to be a tattletale, but before I could get the butt out, she said, then don't, and walked away from me. I'm like... I heard this one often. Quit picking your scabs. Have you ever done this to someone? Finishing someone's... So annoying. So annoying when someone finishes your... How about this one? Being horologically challenged? Always late. Like, I know people, like sometimes you just can't help yourself. Sometimes you're just late, okay, you miss signals, okay, something, life happens. But there's people that I know that take, like, a sinister pride in being late. Oh, I've been late my whole life. No, you're just an absolute, okay, wait a second. How about seafood? Ever encounter that one? Just shut your mouth when you chew, please. Please, it's so annoying. How about this annoying habit? Name dropping or experience dropping, okay? Say you said to me, okay, you're like, hey, I was out west and we were in the Black Hills and then we took a couple days and we went out to the tower, Devil's Tower, and we walked around Devil's Tower and it was just absolutely amazing. It was beautiful and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. And then I reached down and experience drop, right? And I'm like, yeah, but the view's cooler from on top. Got to think about that one for a little while. If you've climbed Devil's Tower. Okay, that one didn't land. Our text appears in Matthew, kind of in Luke, but not in Mark, which is interesting, and not in John. It's the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, and Matthew puts it in a different place than Luke does, and obviously Mark and John like omit the whole thing, which makes you kind of scratch your head, and you can do that in your own time if you will. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountainside, page 809. His disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Probably over the last few years, I preached on Matthew chapter 5 at least a half a dozen times, right? And early on, I looked at it from a perspective of, okay, here is a list to be that's aspirational, okay? A list that you should aspire to, okay? And then there's an element in which I focused on the idea of blessing, right? Being blessed by God, or the word happy. Sometimes you'll see the translation blessed and happy, like happy are those who mourn. You're like, what? How does that work, right? And so you look at this text, and and at times it's changed almost into a list, analogous maybe to the Ten Commandments, a list that you have to do, that it's no longer aspirational. It's something that this is like, if you don't do this list, that somehow you're outside of God's grace. And so I've like played with this, right? And I've thought about this and certainly been influenced heavily by Willard and others. And what are we thinking about here? And is this just another list? Even if it's a really, really good list, because it is. It's a really good list. But what if it's not a list? Even though it is a list. And what if the command wasn't to do this list, Make sure you fully listen before you form conclusions about what I'm saying. Just let me mess with you a little bit. We're going to end up at Jesus. Don't worry. But what if it isn't a command to do this list? What if it isn't even embodying this list? Like, wow, I should be all of these things. You ever go to the grocery store? And you're sent to the grocery store with a list, okay? And the list is partially what the game is about, right? Because you're supposed to get on the list, okay? Most often things that are on my list when I go to the grocery store are milk. I love whole milk. Eggs, okay? Some sort of fresh vegetables, okay? Usually we have protein in the freezer, but sometimes there's a protein. And yogurt. Yogurt is a common thing. And fresh berries, okay? That's pretty common fare of the list, okay? So that list tells you, right, it's a list to follow, but it also tells you something more. Contrasted with, say you go to the grocery store, and on your list is a case of 2-liter bottles of Mountain Dew, 15 bags of Dorito potato chips, and then the little pizza roll things. Okay, that could also be on your list, and that would be a list too. But that list would also tell you something about the individual, right? Or the party that was going to happen, or the lack of dietary habits that are possessed. Sorry if you really like Doritos and pizza rolls. I actually love pizza rolls. Do you ever burn your mouth? I hate it when that happens. They're just like, they come out and they're so crispy and golden and brown, and you're just like, I just want to pop one of these into my, ah! And you can't drink cold water fast enough. Because it's like a contact burn, okay? It's like napalm in your mouth. Your grocery list tells a lot about you. Tells you the things that are important, things that are valuable, things that you like. And yeah, it's a list, but it's more than a list. And I think that's what we're dealing with here. I think it's too simple to say that this is just another list, that this is a new Ten Commandments, that this is, no. Even though if you followed the list, it would be a good list to follow. See, our tendency is to make life about us as opposed to making life about the Savior. These verses, the Beatitudes, let me push you a little bit and say it's not a list, but it's descriptive of what the kingdom is like. That this is a different kingdom ruled by a different king who's not a normal king. He's a shepherd king who's willing to die for his people. I think there might even be a link, right? Not maybe intentionally, but might be a link to FOS, Fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22-23, okay? There's another that's from Paul's hand, right? The fruit of the Spirit, right? This kingdom is so unique. It's so different. It's so bizarre. It's so counterintuitive that you would say something as crazy as, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Wait, no. Military might inherit the earth. Blessed are the merciful. No. Kill the bad guys. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons and daughters of the King. What? It's a different kingdom. It's a different thing. The thing about the list, or about the description, is that it's not material, right? Okay, so materiality. Accountants in the room, please. Anyone? One? Come on, throw your hand up. Dude back there. You, yes, you're an accountant. I'm waving at you. And you over there, I see you. Actually, I don't see you. Now I see you. And I see you. Okay, there's this concept in accounting called materiality, okay? And materiality means that if something isn't material to the overall statement, the financial statements that are being produced, it doesn't matter, okay? So say you have a company that's worth $100, okay? And so on the balance sheet, net worth of the company is $100, okay? And say there's a $1 error in the financial statements, okay? Is a $1 error in the financial statements material? The answer is no. Okay? Now you say, well, $1 is not that big of a deal. Okay, well, let's say you have a $1 billion company, okay? And let's say you have a $10 million error, okay? $10 million is a lot of money. Most of us in this room would take $10 million, put it in our back pocket, and get on the road, right? We'd be like, peace out. But a $10 million error on a $1 billion net worth of a company, is that material? No, it's not. That $10 million doesn't affect the value of the company. Now, say that you have the same $100 company and you have a $50 error, okay? $100 value, $50 error, $1 billion company, $500 million error. Is that material? Yes, that is material. Okay, materiality is a very important concept. You're not looking for a $1 error. You're looking for a $500 million error. You're looking for a $50 error. You're looking for an error that would change how you view the financial statements. But in another breath, and from a spiritual perspective, and certainly from a kingdom perspective, even a $50 error on a $100 valuation, or a $500 million error on a $1 billion valuation, isn't material. Because from a spiritual perspective, none of the things that are material are material. And this list is decidedly not material, even though it is more material than any physical thing you will ever encounter. I miss this so often. I miss this so often. The things that are truly important to God. The most important things to God aren't things. They're not things. They're not our jobs. I would even argue they're not even our closest relationships. That one's going to mess with you just a little bit. The most important thing to God, to you, is you. The most important thing to God, to me, is me. And it's not all of this other stuff. Some of it really good and really, really important. If you don't have a job, you're probably not going to be able to pay the bills. And then, you know, that's not, you know. And if you don't love your spouse, okay, that's really important. It's really, really, really important. It's just that it's not eternal. The blessed life is a not material life. The blessed life has got to work where you live, no matter what your socioeconomic status is, no matter the political environment, no matter if you're a powerful person or if you're a ditch digger. We will use a shorthand that I think is hugely unfortunate, even though it's true. Okay, we're blessed. Like, the poorest person in this space from a material perspective, which again, material isn't material, right? Like, we're blessed. I mean, look at where we live, for goodness sakes. No one's going to drop a bomb on this place, hopefully, in the next 30 minutes. Once I'm off stage, I don't care. No, that's not true. I care. I care a lot. I'll get in trouble for that one. We are blessed, but that's not what it means to be blessed from a kingdom perspective. Because being blessed has to work if you're dirt poor in the middle of, you know, a civil war in Haiti and you're a follower of Christ. Blessed has to work for the woman who lives with her dependent child and her grandmother and her daughter, you know, along the border country just south of the Rio Grande River in a tar paper shack that was maybe built for her by Sunshine Ministries. But blessed has to work if you're a Christian in the Middle East and your home just got taken out. But blessed isn't what we think when we say we're blessed. And yet we should be willing to acknowledge, yes, we've been blessed to live in this land, to celebrate what we celebrate. It is amazing. There's no passport I would rather have than the blue passport from the United States of America. Which, by the way, if you already have one, it's easier than ever to renew online. Pro tip, Wall Street Journal article this last week. Don't want to trade my U.S. passport. Love the country in which I live. Blessed because I live here. And from Matthew chapter 5, it's not what it means to be blessed. This is a very different list, even though it's not a list. It was different then. It was very different then. Like back in the first century, like if you had a lot of money, people assumed that God loved you. And like if you had a lot of positional authority, like obviously God had put you there. And if you had the right last name, oh my goodness sakes alive, you could walk and no one would touch you. Back then, do you know what the ruler of the Roman Empire was called? This is just historical information. No line should be drawn to the current date. They called him Caesar. Thought he was a god. Into that reality in the first century comes this list, which isn't a list, a description of a very different kingdom. It's very different today. In fact, I would argue the first century to the 21st century isn't much different. We can travel more quickly, although if you've read Elijah, he travels pretty quickly. The difference between today and 2,000 years ago isn't really that much. The core element of the physical wanting to be more important than the spiritual. Talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Here's the nut to crack. How do we live in a world in which second things will compete for our attention? And many second things are super, super important. Our jobs, our families, our homes. How do we live in a world, our relationships, okay, that we have with others, okay? How do we live in a world in which second things desperately want to be a first thing, but they never will? And the first thing, and this is going to sound a little bit selfish, but you understand me, I don't mean it to be selfish. How does the first thing, the condition of my soul with a holy God, the condition of your soul with a holy God, how does that receive the priority that Jesus says it should receive? And how do we get everything we could ever want without ever wanting everything? even anything. Please pray with me. Father, it's a journey of epic proportions. An adventure of a lifetime. To allow our souls to be elevated from a world that's concerned with second things to a God who's concerned with one thing. For some of us, Father, the thinking can get a little, almost like a too tall of a hill to climb. And in that moment, we hear the simple words of Jesus, follow me. Follow me. Experience my kingdom. Experience me. I'm really glad that you're here today. You have so much potential. The Father looks into your soul and sees so much beauty, so much strength. To a God who loves and is kind and is true, who invites us to something more. I can't imagine a better adventure. Father, thank you for this time. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.